numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Christy Andrews revealing two more names in Spanky Sports Gambling Hall of Fame as part of Bet Bash this summer in August. He will be inducting 10 names total into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Three have already been announced. Those names, of course, the Giants, Billy Walters, Roxy Roxborough, Lefty Rosenthal. Christy will announce names 4 and 5 on the show coming up. He knew them both personally. So we'll look forward to that. Mark Borchard standing by here to talk some baseball with us. And we'll try to, everything that we didn't get to in the first hour that we wanted to, NBA Finals MVP, maybe some NBA draft stuff, we'll try to squeeze in here as well. There's just so much else going on. One of the Live PGA merger, and I'm saying it that way, just because I think Live got the best of all of this. That's the big news this morning. Just, could you read that one sentence from Moynihan's letter?
Yeah, this is Jay Monahan sent a letter to all the players and kind of detailing how some of this is going to work, even though there are a lot of things still to be determined, as he notes in here, which I don't know. That's what I have a lot of questions about with the release of this stuff. Phil Mickelson was very active on Twitter this past weekend. I'm wondering if the tours were getting concerned he would announce something maybe out of a...
Shut up, Phil.
Yeah, exactly, where they wanted to make the announcement themselves. So these couple notes... from Monahan on the tour that will be a new tour.
Just give me the Saudi part, yeah.
Yeah, it will be a new tour that they're all pouring money into. We will work cooperatively to establish a fair and objective process for any player's desire to reapply for membership with the PGA Tour, DP World Tour after this season. Complicated endeavor, plenty to figure out. In addition to the financial investment in the new entity, so the new league that will be created, for an equity stake, the Public Investment Fund will make a financial investment to become a premier corporate sponsor of the PGA Tour and DP World Tour.
Dude.
Public Investment Fund will make an additional investment to the new entity that will allow us to build an even stronger and more robust commercial business together.
So the PGA Tour now is fine taking Saudi money.
They are fine taking that money now.
Good God. I believe it was the great I believe it was the great Kumo D who once said, "Money talks, BS walks. When I stalk like a hawk, my victory is chalk."
And yeah, for golf fans out there, we do have a live long shots show today.
A pop in long shots. Yeah,
2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific time here on VSiN. We were planning on looking ahead to the Canadian Open this week, but I kind of have a feeling this will now be pushed back a little bit.
That took a turn. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchard joins us now from undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good, Gil. You know, you were talking about some old song, and it made me think there was a guy named Wu for the Mariners that started on Saturday. And ever since I saw his name, it's been killing me to ask you if you remember the Woo 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 song.
Of course.
By Jeffrey Osborne.
Oh,
I knew you would know that. Okay,
yeah. The Woo 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 song, which was, what was it called? You Should Be Mine, and in parentheses, Woo Woo Woo. That was a big hit in 1986. Massive R&B hit, yeah. I think it crossed over,
wow,
too.
Okay, so good. You're answering my question. Yeah.
Bingo card, Jeffrey Osborne on this show today, Kelly. Basewinner.com, Basewinner podcast, at Basewinner. That's where you can find Mark. Beginning of the show today, or at least in the first segment, I talked about Luis Arraez hitting .399 after last night, 3-for-4 performance. And just in the betting markets, he's 75-1 to win the National League. And I talked about how, you know, when Miggy Cabrera won the Triple Crown in 2012, because it had been 45 years, you had to give it to him. They did. Then you can bring in the Trout metrics the following year, because it was also those two guys, and they did. Trout won in 2013. And this is one of these historical things, because we're baseball nerds when it comes down to it. I wear that proudly. I would love to see a chase for 400 this summer. But there's been 9 guys through the first 61 team games. Arraez has played 56, but through the first 61 team games of his season, there's been 9 guys since Ted Williams hit .406 in 1941 that have actually had better averages than Arraez did. None of them got to .400. Tony Gwynn was the closest at .394 in the strike-shortened year of '94. I came to the conclusion that 75-1 is not a good bet, one, because I think it's unlikely he does, obviously mathematically, but even if he did, let's say he finished the season .401. Do we have enough baseball purists and people who would lean on that history and the fact that this is this unbelievable thing that it would trump every other player's accomplishments this year? What do you think?
I would hope that we do.
I would hope so. But I don't think so.
It's the hardest thing to do in sports. If you're successful 30% of the time throwing a football, you're gone. If you're successful hitting a shot 30% of the time in basketball, you're gone. 30% of the time getting a hit in baseball is Hall of Fame stuff. So it's the hardest thing. And if it doesn't happen, then it's going to irritate me. But
would you bet it 75-1 or not?
Yeah, I would. Absolutely.
You would.
It's a fun bet.
It is a fun bet. I give you that.
Fun bet.
I wanted to say that in the first segment, too. I said, if you're looking for something fun that you don't necessarily think is going to cash, because really, all it takes, he goes out today and tomorrow and goes 0 for 4 and 0 for 5. We're not even having this discussion anymore because we're still early enough in the season where that will, like, drop his average precipitously. But if you want something to follow all summer long and it even just lasts through July, let's say, man, that's an awesome bet to have just from an entertainment standpoint.
Fun, though. I tell you what, there's been a lot of fun stuff in baseball this season, and that's certainly adding to the fun, Gil.
Yeah, he's 66 points. Just to give you a notion, of qualified hitters, he's 66 points above the second-place guy in Major League Baseball, which happens to be in the American League in Bo Bichette. But just to give you an idea how outlying this is, and this just for baseball people who love the sport, who really still love it, this does conjure up 1977 Rod Carew and 1980 George Brett. So it's one of these great moments, and I hope it lasts. 75-1, not quite enough for me, but if you're looking for entertainment, Borchardt's all about it.
He personally reminds me a lot of Rod Carew. He just flicks the ball out there, and that's hard to defend. I mean, if you're spraying the ball all over the place, that's tough to defend. So I'm wishing that he does it. I hope that he does it. It'd be fun.
Rod Carew, leaflet. What do you like today?
Well, I'm going to play the under in this Astros Blue Jays game. Both of these pitchers are really good by my ratings. In fact, I've got Gausman in third in baseball with a 55 base winner number. You guys, you look at both of these guys' strikeout percentage, they're over 30 last 150 plate appearances. And I just think that I'd like to play these under. I think 8's a good number. You got to lay a little bit of juice, minus 118. Both teams' bullpens, too, I do like, especially Houston's bullpen. I think that they're the best in baseball.
Under 8, you said there?
Under 8, minus 118 is what I just got.
All right. What else you got?
I'm going to play the Phillies and the Yankees in a parlay. I know people love it when I do this.
Fezzik is laughing right now. Yes, that's right.
I mean, gosh, you know, I like this Yankees team to go over their win total. I think that they're, you know, it's a tip. Both teams, really high payrolls, good analytics, in my opinion. So they have a lot of money, and they've got good analytics, and they're good teams. And that's kind of the way I look at both of these teams kind of from a macro standpoint, but they're playing, I don't know. I've got the Yankees I've got them at a minus 240 favorite. I really like Schmidt. I've got him 76 base winner number, good strikeout percentage, 26.7 last 150. Walker, I don't like as much, but this Detroit, offense is poor. I have them ranked worst in baseball. And you put these guys in a parlay, minus 174 for Philly, minus 151 for Yankees, and you get plus 148. So those are my two plays today.
Yeah, let me clarify the Fezzik comment. He loves you. He thinks you're the smartest guy in the world. And then he goes, but then at the end, he gives me a Yankees-Dodgers parlay. So this one's
He loves it. He's in the MLB show every day, so we love him.
He loves you guys, both you and Jason Weingarten, who do the BetUS show. Okay, then was that it for today, by the way? Or anything
else?
Those are the two. Okay, so Yankees, Phillies parlay, and then the under in the Astros game. What about we're roughly at the 60 game mark? So again, halfway in between Q1 and Q2, so 3/8 of the way through the season. What's the best season long bet on the board right now? Whether it's an award, whether it's a future, whether it's an adjusted season win total. What do you like that's out there?
I'll give you a couple adjusted win totals because I was able to get those off of Caesars. You told me to go to Caesars and get them.
I
ran the simulations, and the team that I think is going to go under, the most likely team to go under, are the Brewers. I mean, this is a huge. They're 86.5 win total. I've got them at 75.2. So that's the team in a negative. Burns has been awful. Burns is a league average pitcher at best right now. So, and then if you look at their other pitcher, you know, you take a look at the Brewers pitching. You've got Burns, Hauser, Ray, Julio Teheran, and Freddie Peralta has not, you know, he hasn't been good either. So, like, I mean, you just I can't believe Teheran's back in the league. But anyway, that's my best. Yeah. That's the best one. That's the best one for under. Best one for over. You're gonna like this one. I like the A's winning 51 games. They're priced at 44. Like, that's just too low of a price. So it's not because I love the A's. It's just like 44 is too low, and they've had some.
This is the thing we've discussed more than any other bet all year, right? Like, the A's are just historically bad. And the adjusted season win total keeps dropping. And to this point, I mean, take your guy Fezzik, right? He has a cascade of under bets on them. As the number has gone down, he's just kept betting it under. But you're saying this is too much. You've got it at 51. Now, if I asked you, how are they going to get to 51? What do you say to me?
I mean, if you look at their weighted runs created plus, I mean, it's not great, but it's like it's fifth in baseball. I think their xFIP minus 129. I think it's going to get better. I mean, you got pitchers that are rated. There's five sets of ratings in FanGraphs, and they're rated a lot better than a 129 xFIP minus. I mean, not a lot, but a little bit better. So I think they should have 18 wins so far. They only have 12, just from a luck standpoint. And so for all those reasons, I think that's why.
You always have your reasoning. That's all we require. Mark, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Pleasure, Gil.
Mark Borchardt at BaseWinner, basewinner.com. We'll come back. NBA Finals MVP.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Not just some of the action, all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Few sort of loose ends here on a morning when the big story, obviously, is the PGA and LIV tours merging, DP Tour in there as well. The NFL, because, Kelly, we have said this every time this has come up now. Isn't this going to happen all the time? Talking both NFL and when this happens in college football, too. And all the time is a vague term, but it's kind of happening all the time. The NFL is investigating Indianapolis Colts corner and kick returner Isaiah Rodgers for possible violations of the league's gambling policy. Rodgers, a sixth-round pick, is entering the final year of a four-year, $3.4 million contract. The sportsbook account was opened under the name of an associate of Rodgers. He had associates, Kelly. Sources say approximately 100 bets were placed on the account over an undisclosed amount of time, including on Colts games, the sources said. That's his team. Most of the bets were in the $25 to $50 range, although there was at least one low four-figure bet. One low four-figure bet. Rodgers started 9 games in 2022, was seen as the likely starter this year following the trade of Stephon Gilmore to the Cowboys, and now it looks like the Colts may have, if there is a suspension, they may have to insert rookie cornerback Julius Brents, a second-round pick back in April, into the starting lineup. So, Kelly, there's a couple things here. One, yes, this is going to happen all the time. And two, and here's where it gets gray area for me. Because I understand it's the principle we're talking about. But he's betting 25 to 50 bucks.
I hear you. Is it bad? I thought the same thing.
I guess this is what I'm saying. It is a principle. I get it. It doesn't matter. To them, it probably doesn't matter in principle if it's $25 or $2,500. But the upshot of these stories is that somehow he's this awful guy, right? Like, if you, the layman who hears this, right, your girlfriend who's not into sports is going to be like, oh, I can't believe he bet. Now, he didn't bet against his team, but this gets back to the old Pete Rose thing, right, where he said, I never bet against my team. And the response of Major League Baseball was, yeah, but what about the nights you didn't bet on your team? Which could apply to Isaiah Rodgers here, too. What about the days you didn't bet on the Colts? So that's their counter, because I know you were saying off air, wait, he only bet on his team. That's the counter for that. But
I don't know. What
are we talking about here, though?
And we don't know yet, right? I don't believe I've seen any more details on whether he bet that there he was what there, on the report it's he did bet on Colts games allegedly.
Yeah.
But we don't know for or against. Right.
Oh, well, if it's against, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But even if it's for, and I get it. I mean, it's the golden rule, right? You can't, the NFL doesn't want, or any sports league doesn't want, these lines blurred in any way. But I just feel like this is going to happen over and over and over again. And it's one thing if it's Isaiah Rodgers. No offense to Isaiah Rodgers, who's a fine player. But if the name were to get bigger, are we to believe that the NFL will absolutely make an example of someone who's actually more impactful than this? I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah. And that's where, but like, that's the part where I think the money, like, it matters to me. I don't know why, but it matters to me.
Pick a starting quarterback. I don't want to name names because then people obviously will, hey, Gil said this. No, I didn't say that. Pick a starting quarterback in the NFL. What happens if
Josh Allen?
Why you got to do that? Just saying. No, I was saying, don't say a name. But I'm saying, whatever quarterback you pick, do you think if it happens the week before Kelly blurts out a name, do you think if it happens the week before the NFL would actually have the cojones to suspend a guy? I don't know that they would. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong if that's the case. I hope everyone is treated equally, but I don't know.
I think we're going to have, like you said, this is not going to be the last one we're going to see. We've been saying that all along.
Yeah, man. It's going to over and over.
They're going to have to set a precedent and really, and now we've seen, I mean, this is pretty similar to the Calvin Ridley one, I guess, right? Like this is, yeah.
Ridley got a year.
He got a year. Now, what was that? He was betting a few grand, right? And now we're talking 20, 50 bucks. Does that difference matter? I don't know. Like, a grand to Calvin Ridley is like $20 to you, like you and me, or less, right?
But that ain't the point.
It's not. I know it's not the point, but it somehow matters.
From our vantage point, because we do this every day, it's hard to ignore that point.
And there's also, like, the other side of that, where the other part of my head is saying, how big of a moron do you have to be, Isaiah Rodgers, to bet like what is essentially like you betting $2 at the South Point Sportsbook here, Gil?
Yes.
And like, and then being fired fired from your job.
That's it, sir. That $2, bad decision.
What are you doing, man?
You know how my mom used to pronounce moron, or still does? Moron. She can't say moron. He's a moron, Gil.
Some of these guys, man, like, take Ubers when you've been drinking. Like, come on. Like, let's not do these stupid, idiotic things every day.
It is so stupid because that's the cardinal sin. That's the golden rule. But then in the end, it's like it's all legalized now. And so it becomes a stranger alchemy to then police. I still get it, but you understand now it's legal. And so it's just a whole thing. Like I said, I'm just going to end it on this. When it's a big name, get back to me. Then I'll be like, oh, now this is interesting. NBA Finals. Tyler Hero is still uncertain. That's the word for game 3. I'm telling you, Kelly, I don't think he's playing. Now, part of the thing is his hand was supposedly sore after warm-ups, which is believable. It's plausible. But I am of the camp where I'm like, I wouldn't insert him into the lineup. I would not.
I also think the fact that the Heat won that game matters too, right? Like there's, as far as a desperation.
Right, if you were down 0-2.
Right, if you're down 0-2, I think it's a different level.
Why would you mess with this? Now, again, Eric Spoelstra's smarter than I am. But I wouldn't put him in. Even in spurts, because he's such a defensive liability. And you're taking shots away from guys like Vincent and Martin who have done so well. Nuggets, 2.5-point favorites, game number 3 in Miami tomorrow night. Total is 215. How about NBA Finals MVP after 2 games? Do we have any insight on this? Where Nikola Jokic is minus 265 and Jimmy Butler remains the short shot for the Heat, but just barely. He's plus 475. That reflects the Heat still being dogs in this series. Bam is plus 550. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is 40-1 or longer, including the Jamal Murrays of the world. What's the bet?
I think it's tough right now, but if you had one of those 40-1s on Bam before the series started, man, you're feeling good. I mean, he's played are arguably the best on anybody these first two games.
Yeah, but as we saw in the Eastern Conference Finals, will that matter?
I think Bam's a big enough name that he could that part's not going to play a role.
All right, let me ask it this way. But if Jimmy Butler has a signature game or a signature stretch of a game, he doesn't even have to have a signature game. If he just has a flurry at the end of a game where he puts the team on his shoulders and like scores their final 8 points, then it switches right back to him.
Okay, so like last game, I would argue he kind of did that. So if Jimmy Butler has 4 more games like he did in game 2.
Forget 4.
Are you giving it to him?
If he has 2 more games and Bam is good but not like otherworldly good, haven't we learned our lesson here? Especially, you know what also helps Jimmy Butler?
What did we say, though, before the series price is plus 400? Like, you're not betting either of these guys. Why would you?
You wouldn't.
Just bet the series price.
Well, that's the biggest point. On principle, you shouldn't. By the way, the Heat are plus 225 now. But I guess what I'm saying, let me just say one more thing about the MVP. That comment that Jimmy Butler, remember, these are human beings. This is not a math bet, right? Or you know, these are human beings betting on this. That comment that Jimmy Butler made when Bam held the trophy after the Eastern Conference Final, did he hold the trophy and Jimmy was like, no, I'll hold the next one? Was it the Eastern Conference trophy or what was that trophy? I guess it was that.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'll hold the next one. Somehow I think that comment again just solidifies in voters' heads, oh, he's the guy. And that will that sway enough votes? I think it will. That's how nebulous and subjective all of this is. Plus 225 on the Heat right now, tied at one game apiece. Are you in Drew's camp where you're like secretly hoping that Miami wins game 3 and then you'll rush to bet Denver? Because I think if Miami wins game 3, people are going to be like, I'm not betting Denver.
I think we had the conversation more off air, but I'm like, I think the answer to that question depends on how much money you've lost betting against the Heat so far.
We haven't said this on air. And you've lost a lot.
I'm in that camp. So yeah. I respect Drew's resilience.
He will have resilience.
I do not think I will be running to bet the Denver Nuggets in the series.
Yeah, he will actually bet it. I take him at his word. But you've had your fill.
This team keeps doing amazing things that you can't really explain.
Bro, even I told you, as much as I've been on the Magic carpet ride, even before this series, I'm like, well, this is not going to happen this series. And here we are, one game apiece. I mean, 3 games away from just unbelievable NBA history for the 8th seed. Chrissy Andrews joins us. Two more names to be inducted into Spanky Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Chrissy knew him personally. It's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, and now a very special edition of Kicking It with Chrissy. Chrissy Andrews, my bitch. Can I kick it?
I wish I could have designed that.
I don't know if you'll remember this, but like when I was a kid, and they would have like, let's take a show like Different Strokes,
okay,
right, with Gary Coleman. If it was like, you know, they'd have like, oh, haha, episodes 5, 6, 7 in a row. And then like the one where like Todd Bridges or Willis, the one where Willis was like took drug, sold drugs at school. The promo would be like, and now for a very special edition of Different Strokes.
The very special comedies. I hated those.
very special episode of Different Strokes.
Yeah, right. A real life lesson here.
All right. Well, this is a very special. No, by the way,
this is a good one.
This is a good special edition. Yeah, it has nothing to do with.
Nobody's going to be in tears, I don't think, at the end of this.
No. So let's just set the stage again. Spanky was kind enough to come on the show yesterday, and he was talking about Bet Bash. Now, Bet Bash 3 is happening at Circa in August, August 8th through 11th. BetBash.co for all the ticket information for Bet Bash. And I was not at the original Bet Bash, but I was at Bet Bash 2. I was honored to moderate one of the panels. It is the greatest conference of any kind one could imagine in sports betting. It was just everybody was there. Chrissy, you were there. All the greats like yourself were there. And it was just it's worth the price just for the networking. Forget the panels, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the panels, which are awesome. But just for the networking, it's worth it. It's a who's who of sports betting. So August 8th through 11th at Bet Bash. And one of the biggest development of this year's Bet Bash 3 is that Spanky has decided to start his Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, which is massive. And three names have already been announced. And they are, the Babe Ruth and the Ty Cobb and the Walter Big Train Johnson, which is Billy Walters and Roxy Roxborough, your friend, my friend, and of course, Lefty Rosenthal. Those are the three names that have been announced. You have the honor here on this show today. Yeah. We are honored to have you have the honor of announcing names 4 and 5. And you, the difference with you and everyone else is, Chris, you know all these people.
I know these guys. And that's why Spanky wanted me to introduce them. You know, so, should we get started here?
Please, let's absolutely.
Start. Well, I would take exception to one thing you said. Uh-oh. I have Babe Ruth.
You have Babe Ruth.
I have
That's
Babe Ruth.
That's true. You do.
I have Babe Ruth.
You do, actually.
Well, let's start with Babe Ruth.
Okay.
Also known as Bob Martin.
Bob Martin.
Bob Martin. And I had the pleasure through my Uncle Jack, and my father passed away in 1970. My Uncle Jack got indicted in 1970 for betting, you know, all kind of crazy stuff. Beat all the indictments, by the way. But moved to Vegas then. And he was, you know, like a second father to me. And we were flying us back and forth from Pittsburgh to Las Vegas, you know, quite often. Me and my cousin Zach, Jack's son. And we were fortunate enough that my Uncle Jack would bring us to lunch with some of the luminaries of our world. And Zach and I both were smart enough to keep our mouths shut and listen to what these guys said. And we talked all the time, like, this was the business we wanted to go into from the time we were probably 10 years old. I said, well, you know, with the education we're getting, there'd be no excuse to not succeed in this business, except it'd be on us for being a bunch of idiots, you know. But we were learning at the feet of the masters, and the master was Bob Martin. And Bob was kind enough to share knowledge with us about the bookmaking industry. Now, he also handicapped, and he did some betting as well, you know, but he was primarily a bookmaker and talked about everything from setting the line to managing the money, you know, to paying and collecting, all sorts of things. I mean, that, like I said, he is without a doubt the Babe Ruth of this industry.
Isn't the headline of Bob Martin that, you know, here, if those of us who live in this day and age, we, you know, okay, well, those lines emanate from offshore and right. Then they're copied. But Bob Martin, the betting line, yeah, didn't come from anyone else but this one human being.
Right. And that's, you know, when you say, what was, like, now you say, what's the opening line? Okay, well, you know, Circa opened at this, Westgate did this, you know, offshore, Chris did this, Pinnacle did this, you know, might have a myriad of different lines, and they're probably fairly close. But back in the day, when you said, what was the opening line? It was Bob Martin's opening line.
How did Bob Martin become that guy?
First of all, Bob, I heard somebody describe him once, if you saw Bob, he looked almost like a Dr. Seuss character. I mean, he might have like a striped, you know, a pinstripe suit and a plaid shirt. He never wore a tie. But he looked like halfway comical, you know, just the way he was. And the thing was, too, if you knew Bob, he was a total ball buster and hilarious, one of the funniest guys you'd ever meet. But he had that brilliant mind. And I always said, you know, guys who are really, really funny are smart.
Absolutely.
They're smart. And that was Bob. He had a knowledge, just a wealth of knowledge. We didn't have computers back in those days. There was no Google or anything like that. He kept all those records, you know, by hand. You know, I don't even think he had an assistant. But he just had, like, such a depth of knowledge with football primarily, but I'd say basketball as well. And when you talked about what was the opening line, was Bob Martin for football and basketball. And I know today, and I've had sort of a, you know, a disagreement with some of the guys who just closing line, that's the only thing that matters. And, you know, like I said, that's something that's become the truth. Back in the day, if Bob Martin opened a game 6 and you wound up taking 7.5, I don't care where it closed, he says, well, Bob made a game 6. I'm taking 7.5. You know, believe me, you did pretty good.
It was closing Bob Martin.
You're going with, you know, Bob opened at 6. Yeah. I'm taking 7.5. You know, I think I'm gonna be okay.
Bob Martin to be inducted in the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame.
This is how influential Bob Martin was, and this is a true story. He ran Churchill Downs. Now, this is back in the day. We just had the grease board.
Churchill Downs. Chrissy is not referring to Churchill Downs in Kentucky.
Right.
These are how the sports books were named back in the day.
Yeah, this was the biggest sports book in Las Vegas. Was Churchill Downs. There's other ones. There was the Saratoga. There's the Rose Bowl. There's Santa Anita. The Del Mar, all kinds. But Churchill Downs was the place. And that was Bob who set the line there and he ran the joint. So this was an obscure game. I think it was I think they told me it was Miami of Ohio playing Toledo. And this is in college basketball. And this part I'm making up. Toledo was like a 7-point favorite. Bob gets on the phone and he's talking, nodding his head. Yeah, sure. Okay. Goes out. Goes to the board. Toledo was a 7-point favorite. He makes it 3. Just sits down. They had the bank of payphones outside, which were the most profitable, and I'm not joking, the most profitable payphones in the United States. Everybody ran to the phone, you know, taking the seven, because Bob made it 3. They came back in 5 minutes later. Bob erased the 3, went back to 7. just to mess with people.
Because he could.
Because he could. And that shows you the influence, because if Bob said the game was 7, it's 7. If Bob said the game's 3, it's 3. and it was one of those, he just would be that kind of a guy.
For historical sake, what would you say is the year range where Bob Martin was the guy who generated lines globally?
I'd say from the early 60s. Through the mid to late 80s.
Whoa, what a run.
Yeah, Bob was the guy. And he like's going to happen to all of us. He got old and sick. And,
sure.
You know, and he actually did a stint in prison. But he was funny about, you know, the way he did it. You know, just even talking to Bob, one of the things was he said, you know, because, I mean, listen, he was in with, you know, congressmen and judges and, you know, white-collar criminals. He said, geez, I hated getting out in the middle of October. I was getting 6 to 5 from all these guys. It's probably true. And the other thing was when the Supreme Court, you know, finally decided in his favor, somebody bet him that it would be 9-0 in his favor. And he bet against it because one guy, I can't remember the judge, so he won 8-1. He says, I can't believe it. I middled the Supreme Court decision.
Betting on his own Supreme Court
and
ruling.
That was Bob. I mean,
what was the charge, by the way? Do you remember specifically?
Oh, probably bookmaking. You know, I can't remember exactly. But he actually went to prison. And I knew him well enough that we corresponded while he was in prison. You know, and
wow.
He gave me a wedding present and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like I said, I was smart enough to keep my mouth shut and listen to what Bob Martin had to say.
The beauty of so many of these is the casual aside of, yeah, you know, he went to prison for a while. But anyway.
I mean, in our world, that does not lower your esteem to me. I can tell you that.
At all. Might even do the opposite.
Might do the opposite, exactly.
Might do the opposite. Bob Martin, the fourth name, the Babe Ruth of this industry. Bob Martin, inducted into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. That will be August 8th through 11th at Bet Bash, and he will have someone accepting the honor on his behalf, of course. Name number 5 on the other side with Chrissy Andrews exclusively right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Las Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Usually I read a bunch of tweets at this time, but we're doing, obviously, the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame.
You don't want to read that one tweet?
The one? No, I don't want to read the one. I do not. Some of these are so funny. We'll read some of these tomorrow, but it just seems out of place right now, stuff that Kelly and I were talking about in previous segments. I will read this one text, not that one text, but another text. Oh, Felica said, a very special Moesha, he said.
Who said that? Felica?
Felica, yeah. all right, so this is, if you're tuning in again, Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. And it is a very special Kicking It with Chrissy because Spanky was on yesterday, and we have the honor, I have the honor, and Chrissy has the honor, to name the fourth and fifth names that are being inducted to the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame at Bet Bash 3 in August, August 8th through 11th at Circa, betbash.co for all the information. So you just mentioned Bob Martin as the fourth name to go in, and now name number five is someone you knew even better than that.
I probably knew them both pretty good, you know. So if I call Bob Babe Ruth, what would I call this guy? Geez, let me think. Ty Cobb, maybe.
Okay.
Like right around that same. And we're going to announce it, Jackie Gaughan. Jackie Gaughan, who I had, you know, such great pleasure to meet. And again, when my Uncle Jack was, you know, taking us to lunch, you know, Bob was there. Some other guys who, you know, whose names are unfortunately going to be lost to history unless we get them in to the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. We, you know, but there's only so many we put in every year. Guys like Bob Black, Joe Snyder, Bobby Berendt, great names. But another guy who was often at those lunches was Jackie Gaughan. And I knew Jackie Gaughan before I knew he had this kid named Michael who was, you know, starting up some casinos. And, you know, little did I know how influential the Gaughan family would be in my life. You know, but Jackie was one of those guys. And I got, like I said, I was, you know, 14, 15, you know, until I was, you know, in college, you know, going to these lunches and smart enough to keep my mouth shut and listen to these guys who just were, like I said, I don't care what field of study you're in, you know, maybe medicine, but other than that, there's no way you could get the depth of knowledge I had just from listening to these guys who were, you know, the fathers of this industry. And Jackie and I just kind of, you know, hit it off. We liked each other, you know. But Jackie was that kind of way with a lot of people. I don't want to make me sound like all that special. Jackie was a very gregarious person. And when I was working for Michael at the Barbary Coast, I did a stint on Graveyard for a while, but then I was doing swing shift. I was kind of like the swing shift supervisor. And I had a lot of responsibility kind of that I went into in one of my books. Which, by the way, are we going to mention one of my books?
We should mention your books. Multiple books.
Okay.
Which order would you like to say them?
Let's start Then One Day, because there's some stories in there.
Absolutely. So you were kind enough for years to come on the Beating the Book podcast, and we did something called Story Time at the end of Guessing Lines.
Okay.
And it became wildly popular. Like, no one cared about the Guessing Lines part after a while because your stories were so great. And those were it's basically the audio version of Then One Day, which you added stories to. So Then One Day, followed by Then One Year.
Yeah.
Which
is more
book for
people in our industry, I'd say. It was the year of COVID, which I didn't intend that to happen, but it did. And then, of course, my novel.
Adelphos Moo, which
I'm very proud of the novel, you know.
Your novel was great, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the reviews have been great. I just need to get it out there more and to the public, and I'm trying to do that.
But Then One Day, just that we we triggered this in a break. Then One Day has a lot of these Bob Martin and Jackie Gaughan tales.
By the way, and I just happened to talk to my daughter because I knew I was doing this show, so I'm talking to my daughter yesterday. My daughter Jackie, not named after Jackie Gaughan, named after my Uncle Jack. But she knows a story involving Jackie Gaughan and Bob Martin. And I've told her, you are permitted to tell that story at my funeral because there's no one alive right now besides me and her, too, that knows this story.
So we're not getting that story.
You're not getting that story. But I said, at my funeral, and if anybody's there at my funeral, hopefully it's not going to be for a while, but my daughter Jackie has a story that she's permitted to tell at my funeral involving Jackie and Bob and another guy.
By the way, your funeral will occur after you are inducted into this Sports Gambling Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah, Let me just say that.
Yeah, I know you're not, but I will. Yeah, Jackie gone, so we got a little historical perspective on Bob Martin. Yeah. Yeah.
So Jackie, when I was working swing shift at the Barbary Coast, Jackie would have dinner with, you know, Michael or Kenny Epstein or Frank Todi, who were Michael's partners, Tito Tiberti. He would have dinner with one of them or all of them, you know, a couple times a week. But he'd always come in first, and he'd pull up a stool right next to me and just start talking about the business. You know, he'd show me this or that. This is the way I deal with this guy. And, I mean, the guys he was dealing with, you know, guys like my Uncle Jack, guys like Bob Martin, guys like Billy Baxter, Billy Walters. I mean, other names that are, you know, just resonating through our industry as great, great men. And Jackie, you know, he told me, he says, you know, I mean, listen, you're not going to hold 5-6% booking of these guys. He says, if I could squeeze out like 1%, you know, that's pretty good, you know. And this guy, you know, he would deal with like a lot of halftimes. Jackie was really one of the first guys to deal with halftimes. One of the first guys to deal with money lines. Jackie was one of the first to do that kind of stuff. Bob would set the line as far as like for the game. But Jackie was, you know, Jackie was more innovative than Bob.
And Jackie was what? I just missed the details. What did he run ultimately?
He ran the El Cortez. Mm-hmm. That was where he kind of made his bones, essentially. But Jackie had pieces of the Union Plaza. I believe he had a piece of Churchill Downs. I'm not sure about that. He was with Mel Exper in the Las Vegas club. And Jackie and Mel were the first ones to use the run line in baseball, the run and a half. And Jackie would sit there and talk to me. He says, you know, you realize a run and a half is much more valuable, you know, in a game where the total's 6.5 as opposed to when the total's 10. We didn't have Colorado in those days, so, you know, 10 was about the highest, the total would be. And totals were kind of a new thing at the time, too. So all this was just kind of being explored at the time. For things that we just take for granted now.
We take all this stuff
for granted, but it's got to start somewhere. You know, yeah. Jackie was, you know, on the cusp of starting it. Like I said, before Jackie dealt halftimes, I don't know anybody else that did. There probably were somebody, but I don't know who that would be.
We have a picture here. This is of Jackie Gaughan here at the chalkboard. And as we were talking about off air, for those who wonder where does the term chalk come from when we talk about favorites, literally put up lines using a blackboard and a piece of chalk. And so favorites over the years suddenly,
it went from 6 to 6.5 to 7. Where's the chalk? Oh, that's they keep right. betting the favorite. Oh, big, you know, boy.
Is that how you remember him changed. Looking like that? Is that how you remember him? Or this is in his older years?
No, that's how I remember Jackie. And by the way, that picture is like right at the doorstep of my office right there. You know, you can come and see it. And Jackie did. Where was the space station going to land? Like, those are things that Jackie did. And by the way, Jackie,
he would put that up
he put that up till gaming made him take it down. You know,
that's great
stuff like that. Yeah, but Jackie didn't care. They did. Okay, a quick Jackie Gaughan story.
Please.
That you know, I'll try to get this in. So when I worked for Warren Nelson up at the Cal Neva, Warren and Jackie were tremendous friends. As a matter of fact, that's how I got the job at Cal Neva. Jackie recommended me. Anyway, Warren one day pulls me aside, and you know, this is when I became an owner and stuff. And he says, "Okay, listen to me. Whenever you're checking out people's credits, you go through all your procedure, check the bank statements and everything else. Then take a step back and look at the guy's shoes. If a guy's got crappy shoes on, I don't care what the bank statement says. He's not a good credit risk." But I'm telling you right now, that does not work for Jackie Gaughan. Jackie Gaughan might have his shoes taped together with masking tape or duct tape. He goes, but if Jackie's here and I'm not, Jackie can have anything he wants. You have my permission to give Jackie anything. And Jackie was just that kind of a character. You know, he drove like a old beat up pickup truck or Jeep or something like
Didn't
that.
Didn't care about such things.
No, he wore suits and like Warren was like an immaculate dresser. Opened up Jackie's and it had the name, I think it was Ed Lee. Where'd you get this? Oh, this is my dead brother-in-law because we were the same size, so I just took all his suits.
Ed Lee.
I think that was the name.
That's awesome. And he
I have another one too, but we'll never get it in on time.
Well, we got to run, but he will be inducted by your cousin Oh, who?
No. He will be inducted by Michael Gaughan.
Of course, by Michael Gaughan. Absolutely. Bob Martin, Jackie Gaughan, names 4 and 5 in the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Again, inducted at Bet Bash this summer, August 8th through 11th, betbash.co. Thank you, Chrissy, as always.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we'll induct more names over the coming weeks.
Yeah.
Chrissy Anders, who knew them all, a giant in his own right. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.